Well, I read with you from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, and I want to go back there now to words that Peter said when Jesus warned him and the other disciples that they were going to fall away on account of Jesus that very night. Peter replied in verse 33 of Matthew 26, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Now we often ask one another, "How are you?" How do we answer when someone asks you how you are? Most of the time we probably say something like, I'm fine. Thank you. Depending on our personality, we may use it as an opportunity for a little moan. But there are times, aren't there, when we actually need to say, certainly to some people, listen, I'm not fine. Can we talk about it? Times when we need help. Think for a moment of Jesus coming to you at the start of the day and asking you, how are you? Jesus, in a sense, does that for us, and we know that he knows the answer to that question far better than we do ourselves. And we also know that he's not just asking how our health is, but he's asking, how's our relationship with our Heavenly Father? So when Jesus asks us, how are you doing? How are you? Can we really answer, I'm absolutely fine? Or is it time for us to seek help? I'm going to think about seeking help tonight. And I want to start from this verse by recognizing that we need help. That's the first thing. There's three things tonight. The first one is this. We need help. Jesus tells them in verse 31, they're going to sin. They're going to let him down. They're going to fall away. What do you think the response of those disciples should be at that point? Well, they don't want to sin, do they? So they should take his warning seriously. And if they're afraid of falling away, they should seek Jesus' help so that they won't fall away. And what about ourselves tonight? We've all been warned plenty of times from the Bible that we will sin. And we've been warned that unless we repent, we will perish. Luke chapter 13. Verse 3. So what should our response be? We don't want to sin and we don't want to perish. What we don't want to do is say something like Peter. We don't want to say, well, thanks very much, God, for telling us that we're going to sin and that unless we repent, we'll perish. But actually, even if all fall away on account of Jesus, even if everyone else sins, I won't. Don't worry. Even if they all do the wrong thing, I'll do the right thing. The Bible warns us that we won't do the right thing. Sometimes we will, but sometimes we won't. And not doing the right thing is serious. We need help. And so, when we hear a message from the Bible that warns us about the dangers of falling into temptation, we should seek help. Just like here, Jesus is giving a warning. He's saying, you're going to go wrong. And instead of Peter taking that warning and saying, well, help me so that I won't, Peter says, well, the rest of them might go wrong, but I won't. We need to ask for help. That's how we become Christians, by asking for help. And help's available because Jesus is a Savior. That's what he is, that's his title. He's a helper. And remember the terms of Jesus' help. Jesus' terms are not onerous. They're not difficult. Tonight, Jesus comes to us and he says, as he does to the disciples this night indeed, without me, you can do nothing. We've got nothing to offer. If we try to offer something to Jesus, if we try to pay our way and earn his help, we can't. If we try to pay, it shows we've not understood. Because Jesus' help is for the helpless. Look through the Gospels and you'll see that he does help people all the time. But they never pay him. You never see any money exchanging hands in the Gospels. No one pays him for a healing. No one pays him for a miracle. It's all free. The needy receive free help. It's what we call in the Bible grace. It's that the help that God gives to us is something that we don't pay for. It's something that we can't earn. It's simply a free gift. And that's why we sang a moment ago in Hebrews from chapter 4 verse 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We've been warned plenty of times. We've read the Bible and been warned from it. And we need help so that we don't fall foul of the things that we're warned about and end up sinning against God and getting far from him. But his throne is a throne of grace. It's a throne of a God who helps the helpless. So we come to it to get help. We need it, but it's there. And it never stops being like that. When Paul was a Christian with great advancement in spiritual life, no doubt, he had this thing called the thorn in the flesh. Whatever it was a real trial to him. And he prayed to God to take it away. 3 times he pleaded with God to take it away, and God didn't take it away. And it may be that Paul thought, if God would just take this thorn away, I wouldn't have to keep depending on God to get through the difficulty that it presents to me. But God doesn't remove it. God keeps Paul depending. And God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And that's the way it is. And Paul responds, therefore, he says, I've learned I must boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me. I need help. And God keeps me in that place where I'm aware that I need help, so that I may depend on Jesus, who helps the helpless. Tonight we need Christ's help, and we must receive that help as a free gift. So let me ask you 2 questions at this point. First of all, have you asked Jesus, really asked Jesus for his help for your life? Have you really asked Jesus for his help to overcome the sin that stands between you and God? Because if you haven't done that, do it now. I urge you to do it now. Because you can't escape yourself from sin's power and sin's condemnation. You need the help of the helper of the helpless to help you to get out of that. Only Jesus can free you. But let me ask this. If you have asked him, are you still asking him? Are you still seeking his help every day? Because sometimes, as Christians, after a while, we start thinking we can stand alone. And that's what happens to Peter. The second thing that we can see here is Peter doesn't need help. so he thinks. He doesn't need help. Because Jesus says, you're going to fall. You're going to let me down. You're going to abandon me. And Peter says to Jesus, don't worry. I'm strong enough. I'll not fall. After being a Christian for a while, we can lose sight of our need of help. Becoming a Christian involved becoming aware that we needed help and really asking for it until we got it. But after a while, we get into the new habits, the new patterns of Christian living. We become established and we begin to lose sight of this again and begin to think we can keep going ourselves. You compare Peter a couple of years before this in chapter 5 of Luke's Gospel. They're in the boat at Jesus' knees. It says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. See the sense of brokenness in Peter's life at that time. The sense of need. The sense of the help that he needs from Jesus. Even though he mistakenly thinks that he just doesn't have any call on Jesus' compassion and help. He does. Jesus helps him. Jesus makes him a fisher of men. But 2 years later, Peter's forgotten that brokenness. He's forgotten what he so clearly saw. We know Peter loves Jesus here. And he'd do anything for Jesus if he could, no matter how costly. But he also needs help. It's not Jesus really who needs help here. It's Peter. But Peter doesn't see it anymore. He's got so much into the way of thinking he can make it himself now that he's lost sight of his need of help. Tonight, Lord, my friends, tonight we need help from God to maintain our relationship with him. Tonight, we haven't got a relationship with God without his help. We can't create it and we can't maintain it. And it's so easy to forget that. Have you forgotten that you need God's help tonight? The Galatians, remember, those Christians in Galatia Paul writes to, they'd forgotten. In Galatians 3 verse 5, Paul asked them, so again I ask, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? In other words, are you saved because you can do things for God or because of what he does for you? Are you saved because you can help God with his program for the world? Because you can help him to build his church? But are you saved because you depend on him for his help? And sometimes we stop thinking of that dependence. We forget we can't save ourselves. And we begin to think as though we're saved because we're helping God every day. And we can do it. And we don't need his help. But that's not true. Have you forgotten that you can't save yourself? Well, hopefully not. But have you forgotten that you need his help every day? That's easy to forget. You may remember clearly that you need Christ's help for your salvation. But maybe you've forgotten you need his help to live. You can't keep up with the demands of the Christian life without the Savior's constant help. Have you started getting confident in your own ability to keep going? Like Peter, you'll fall, Jesus says. Peter says, no, I won't. Or a few verses earlier, chapter 20, verse 21. One of you will betray me, Jesus says. Next verse, surely not us, Lord. The disciples say, surely we won't betray you. We wouldn't do that. The disciples were self-confident. And again, a little later on, verse 35. Peter again, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. They've all lost sight of their constant need of Jesus' help. Don't you see that you will fall, you will disown, you will betray, unless you get Jesus' help? "I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with me." What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? We need to be willing to ask for help, to receive help from the Lord, to receive help from the Lord's people as well. The problem is, we may find it really difficult to accept the help. We are proud. Sometimes we can't bear to be helped. You like that? That was Peter's problem. This same evening again, Jesus washed the disciples' feet, remember? And this is what we read. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." See, Peter, you shall never wash my feet. He can't bear to be helped by Jesus. He can't bear to receive the ministry of someone else. Now, this is a characteristic of the unbeliever. This is a characteristic of the non-Christian who won't ask God for help. And Peter's do not. He won't receive help. See how strongly independent he's got to be in his mind, in his thinking now, compared to the man who was once broken and so aware of his need. Is that you? Is that you tonight? You're going through the routines and you're going through the motions of the Christian life, but you've stopped really asking for help. You become like an unbeliever. "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Perhaps it is that we ask for help, but we're wanting a miracle. We're wanting Jesus to send us a sign. We're wanting Jesus to do something amazing for us. Well, that's what unbelievers want. It's the unbelievers in the Bible that ask for signs and wonders and miracles to help them. But what if the Lord sends help through another Christian? What if the Lord sends help through sending someone along to come alongside you? Can you bear to let someone else help you? We need help to begin the Christian life, but we need help to keep going, whatever that help may look like. It might be a sign. It might be a miracle. It might be a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. It might be a wonderful promise that jumps out from the Scriptures when we're reading it. But it might be something really ordinary, like another Christian offering to pray with us, to do something practical for us, to study the Bible with us, to become mutually accountable to us, that we share one another's problems and burdens, or maybe someone come along to rebuke us or warn us. Well, we ask for the help. However it comes, we've got to receive it. Peter, he just doesn't want to be helped. He thinks he doesn't need it. But the third thing here is, he thinks it's other people that need help. You might be like that too, are you? It's other people that need help. Peter didn't receive the help he needed here. In his mind, he doesn't need help to stand firm. In his mind, it's other people who need help. Even if all fall away on account of you, he says, I never will. Oh, other people might fall away. They really need your help to stop them from falling away, but I don't, because I can stand without your help. I don't need it. That's what pride does. Pride makes us think that it's other people who need help. You might be sitting tonight listening to this sermon and thinking, it's someone else here that needs to hear this, and not you. We believe that we can keep it up. We think maybe others aren't so strong as we are and need help, but we've got this illusion that we can keep going. We're quite happy to help ourselves. Oh yeah, we're really happy to help other people, to give them that help. But we don't want to be helped ourselves. Do you know what a hypocrisy that is? What a double standard that is? One rule for us and another for everyone else. That we in our minds, we're the ones who give help, but we won't accept it. We expect others to accept our help. We won't accept help ourselves, though. We're happy to give help, but we won't let other people give help. See the hypocrisy there, the double standard. Yeah, we're very happy to help others, but are we happy to be helped tonight? We minister, but are we happy to be ministered? I'm using that word because I know that as a minister, sometimes it's the hardest thing. You're very happy to help other people. But what about when it's my turn? When I need the help, am I willing to receive it from someone else? Pride gets in the way. Pride makes us see ourselves as someone who helps, not as the person who needs help. That's pride. Think of the last time when you developed a really serious need. Maybe because of old age with its issues, maybe an illness, some misfortune, and you were unable to remain independent as a result of it. Thankfully, you, like me, you have people in your life who are only too glad to help you. Did you just accept their help gratefully? Or do you find it really difficult? And try and struggle on independently, like Peter here. He's in trouble. We're in great trouble when we struggle on independently. Much deeper trouble than we realize. It's not the way the Christian life should be lived. Paul writes it like this. He says, carry one another's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. I knew a woman who had some very good friends. I won't say her name for obvious reasons, but she had some very good friends. They valued her, and she valued them. In time, she became unwell, while they, her friends, thankfully remained well. And she became dependent on them to support her in her own home. So she was in her home and supported there by her friends. And she hated being dependent on other people. But there was no other way for her to remain at home but for her to receive the help of her friends. But they were her friends. And they were happy to give the help simply because of the value to them of the friendship they had with her. But eventually this woman developed such a deep sense of debt and of the debt that she owed her friends that in her mind she decided she would give them a considerable amount of money to thank them for their help. If you were told by that woman of her intention to do that, what would you say to her? Would you advise her to give that money to her friends? Thankfully, the money was never actually offered or mentioned. I think the friend would have been not so much offended as saddened that money was being offered for the help and love they so faithfully and willingly gave, knowing that if the shoe had been on the other foot, as it were, then this woman would have gladly helped them. I'm speaking of a real situation there. And in that situation, we can see the difficulty we have as human beings, because of our pride, to receive help, the help of God and the help of others. And that's what's happening here in this passage. Peter, he wants to soldier on in his own strength, and he is walking into a minefield. Jesus sees his need, warns him, but he's going to soldier on without asking for help. And whenever God sees our need, warns us that we need him, offers us his help, offers to be the helper of the helpless, but we rather soldier on depending on our own resources, it always ends badly. Jesus' warnings in this passage of betrayal and disowning and denial ought to have driven Peter and the other disciples to seek Jesus' help, but it didn't. An hour later, we find them in Gethsemane. Jesus warns them again. Verse 41. He says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the body is weak. He's warning them. He's saying, you need help, man. You're going to fall unless you get help. And where are you going to get it? You need to pray and ask God's help. What happens? They go to sleep. Three times Jesus warns and they sleep. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. The report of Peter's denial then makes all the more depressing reading, because you can see it coming. It's not as though he didn't have it coming. It's not as though it just came out of nowhere. It came out of a Christian man who's lost sight of his need of help. What about the Christian men and women here tonight? Are you desperately seeking God's help every day because you know the spirit's willing but the flesh is weak? And you could fall into temptation at any time. Because if you're not, it will end badly. At the end of the chapter, verse 69. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow is with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Our hearts are heavy reading that. But it's there for us as a warning. It's there for us to warn us that if we are not seeking help to live the Christian life, just as we sought help to begin the Christian life, then we will fall. And we will suffer loss as a result. Yes, Peter was restored, but I'm sure the rest of his life he looked back on what we've just read, and every time he reproached himself, what a fool I was, so willing to help but so unwilling to be helped, so happy to be the one who's strong, not recognizing how weak I really was. Spiritual disaster awaits those who will not allow themselves to be helped. God is calling you and me tonight to put away our pride and to seek the Lord's help. And when it comes, to embrace it, to recognize it, and to receive it, no matter how humbling the source of the help may be to us. For God may often bring the help that we need through people who, in our eyes, are the ones who need help. But we are the ones who need help, and we need to receive God's help tonight. Amen.